My earliest memory is of living in a small apartment in Elmhurst, Queens, New York. We lived on the first floor, and the kitchen window overlooked a courtyard, a hard, concrete playground in the neighborhood. I must have been about 2 or 3 years old. My parents would let me play outside in that yard with my older sister, who was just 2.5 years older than me. Other kids would join us, and we'd all run around the courtyard laughing and playing. One day, my sister called me over. I was the happy, carefree boy I always was back then, so I eagerly ran to her. As I approached, she pulled out a large rock from behind her back and hurled it at me. It hit me squarely above my eye, and the overwhelming pain hit my senses like a shockwave I can still taste to this day. I'll never forget the metallic sting of that moment. It burned itself into my memory forever. I blacked out, knocked unconscious. When I came to, kids were screaming around me. Blood was pouring from my head. Why my sister did it, I still don't know. She never gave an explanation. That day was the first of many attacks like it from her. Looking back, I realized that moment planted an unshakable seed of mistrust in me. Now, over 50 years later, I jokingly say I've earned a PhD in DBA, Deceit, Betrayal, and Abandonment. Life has thrown every imaginable challenge my way. But what strikes me most about that early memory is its absurdity. A little boy, no more than 3 years old, being hit in the face with a rock the size of a softball, thrown by his big sister, someone who was supposed to love and protect him. What a way to start life. A revolutionary start, my parents' journey. My parents' lives were marked by struggles long before I was born. They immigrated to the United States from Cuba, each bringing their own unique and fascinating story. My father, Francisco Mesa, played an active role in the Cuban Revolution, a pivotal event that shaped his early adulthood. As a guerrilla soldier, he was once tasked with assassinating a local military sergeant in the town of Palma Soriano. However, while scoping out the sergeant's home, he saw a young woman, the sergeant's daughter, and fell in love. He botched the mission on purpose, throwing the grenade into the house without pulling the pin. That woman became my mother, and they married soon after the revolution succeeded in 1959. At first, there was widespread euphoria throughout Cuba. But within a year, Fidel Castro's revolutionary government adopted communist ideals, and my father quickly found himself at odds with the regime. Speaking out meant risking execution, so my father went into hiding. With the help of an influential uncle who sheltered him in a barn for over a year, my father secured false documents and fled to the United States. He arrived in New York with nothing but the clothes on his back and a resilience that would define his life. Though his aunt refused to take him in, he found work washing dishes at a Midtown Manhattan restaurant. Unbeknownst to the owner, he slept in the restaurant's boiler room to save money. When the owner discovered him one night and heard his story, he helped my father secure a small room to rent. Adapting to a new life. Life in New York wasn't easy, but my father made it work. Back in Cuba, he was on track to become a dentist, a career path made possible by the wealth of his family. His grandfather, Anibal Roldan, was the wealthiest man in his town, a black man whose wealth and influence came from owning the first printing press in eastern Cuba. However, Anibal's fortune came with deeply ingrained prejudices. Despite being black himself, Anibal disapproved of his daughter Arcelia's marriage to my grandfather, Francisco Mesa, who came from a darker-skinned family. This dynamic caused tension within the family. Arcelia eventually returned to live with her father, bringing her 3 children with her, including my father, who grew up in an environment where he was not fully accepted. Despite the wealth and privilege around him, my father's opportunities were limited because of the color of his skin. Struggles in love and war. When my father arrived in New York, his dental studies were put on hold indefinitely. He worked as a dishwasher and lived frugally, sending money back to his wife, my mother, and his family in Cuba. But the separation from his wife took a toll. It lasted 5 years, during which my parents exchanged only letters. Eventually, in 1965, my father saved enough to bring my mother to the United States. Adjusting to life in New York City was not easy for my mother. She was young, naive, and unfamiliar with the harshness of northern winters. A memorable story from their early days involved her stepping off the plane and seeing people's breath in the cold air. Having never experienced freezing temperatures, she thought everyone in New York smoked cigarettes. Once reunited, my parents faced more challenges, including dealing with a jealous ex-girlfriend of my father, who, according to my mother, cursed their relationship. Nevertheless, they persevered,